1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read from verse 27. Paul writes, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But whether are prophecies, they will cease. Whether are tongues, they will be stilled. Whether is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." We've been looking over the past number of weeks at the body, or trying to at least. And I spoke to you last week from Romans 12 to say, if you've got a gift, use it. And you've all got a gift. And Ephesians 4:16 says, "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work." And so, the growth of the body, the building up of the body, is dependent on us doing our work, using the gifts God's given us to serve one another. The gifts are given for common good. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, and actually says the efficacy or the value of your gift is directly related to love. How effective your gift's going to be in its utilization depends on whether love exists or not in your life. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, you're just noisy. There's the potential that we have gifts that we use without love, and actually the effectiveness of the gift is reduced because of the absence of love. And we all know 1 Corinthians 13 quite well. We quite like it, don't we? Love is patient, it's kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast. It's a lovely passage for a wedding. That's not what Paul's writing to. So I can have a gift and use it without love and did actually achieve very, very little. And the danger is that I think because I've used my gift, that's it. I think all of us this morning understand the importance of love to our faith. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the most famous Bible verses. What caused Jesus to come? Love. Ephesians 1 says, in love he predestined us for adoption into sonship. Why am I a child this morning? Because of love. And what am I instructed to do? As a follower of Christ, love. Matthew 26. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. John 13:34. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's the command of our lives, right? It's what Jesus has asked of us. Love each other. Love each other. And that's our witness to the world, that we love each other. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples, that you love each other. It's our witness to the world. But I'm going to say something to you. I don't think I've ever heard more pathetic definitions of love than in church. I don't think I've heard more pathetic definitions of love anywhere else than in church. Because we want to do what Jesus has asked us. So we make our current reality line up with that. Well, I don't wish them harm, so I love them. Is that love? I don't want anything bad to happen to them. Yeah, I love them because, you know, I've prayed for them once in the most difficult season of their life. And we make love something really vague out there so that we can almost tick the box. I love. And I think there's a fundamental error in it. Because this morning I'm not trying to justify myself. I'm justified by faith. I'm already justified by faith in Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus this morning. So me loving is not me trying to get my way to heaven. I'm not trying to tick the box to prove that I am something that I say I am. I want the love this morning because that's what he's asked of me. He loved me. I'm not trying to justify myself by it. And here's the danger. We've got the capacity to convince ourselves we are something we aren't. To convince ourselves our behavior is appropriate when sometimes it's not. I loved them, so I slapped them around the head because someone needed to do it. But they needed it. Honestly, they needed it. You'll have heard me say this before. You'll hear me say it again. But any behavior I've got to justify to myself, I actually think it's probably sin. If I've got to tell myself something's okay in my life, it probably means it's not. But that doesn't mean I'm not justified. And the danger is that sometimes the voice of conviction comes in and it lays a finger on something and we go, whoa, actually that might challenge something in me. And I am a Christian, I really am. This is not about earning your salvation. But he wants you to love. And Paul sets that out because he's not willing for the Corinthians to say, yeah, we're loving, when really they're not. Yeah, I've got love. So Paul says, love's patient. It's kind. Doesn't envy. Doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't dishonor others. It doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is not some vague concept where, yeah, I can tick a box and convince myself I was loving because I said hi to them this morning. And I want you to be careful that you don't make love less than what it actually is. All of the law and the prophets hang on this. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Everything of the law. Hangs on that. And we want to play games with love as if, well, if I could just tell people I'm loving, then that'll be it. Yeah, I love you. You don't even know my name. You don't know my name. And you want to tell me. And the presence or absence of love in your life is directly related to knowing or not knowing God. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The presence or absence of love in your life is a direct reflection on your relationship with God. If you know him, you love. If you don't love, you don't know him. It's what John writes and says. It's that straightforward. There's a potential that sometimes we get caught somewhere else in that we want to play games. This is not overly complex. If you know him, you love. And the truth is, most of us can look at the definition set out in 1 Corinthians 13, the description of love, and look at our relationships and go, actually, there's times where that's not me. But love comes from God. It's what John writes, 1 John 4. Love comes from God. And love in your life is a direct result of how well you know God. So you're not meant to get less loving the more you know him. You're actually not meant to become more cynical the more you grow. Some of you have been walking with him much longer than I've been alive. Is love the reality of your life? Because it will affect how you use your gift. But let me say this as well. Miraculous spiritual gifting can function outside of knowing God. Prophecy. Delivering people from demons and miracles can all happen outside of knowing God. It's Jesus' words, not mine. Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And there's this thing, right? Because sometimes love doesn't seem that impressive. And it certainly doesn't seem as spiritual as prophecy or driving out demons. Many miracles. They're not even claiming that they once saw a miracle or witnessed it. Many will say to me, didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? But actually, you can do all of that without ever knowing him. I never knew you. It's a staggering statement. But love everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Let me say this like this. Your character will always be more important than your gifting here. Love will always be more important than talent. I understand we can all get very excited about many miracles. The Spirit's moving there. God's doing something. It can happen outside of him. Without him, the people who are doing them ever knowing him. Love. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I understand it's not a very Pentecostal message. It's not the message as Pentecostals want sometimes. But it's the truth of the Word of God. And so Paul says, you can speak in the tongue of men and angels and just be noisy. You can prophesy. You can move mountains with your faith. You can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. I mean, I would quite like to do that. But if it's absent of love, what's its value? And love's not just an action. I've listened to lots of people tell me love's a verb, it's a doing word, you've got to do things, and that's how people know you love them. Paul says you can give all you possess to the poor and actually it not be loving. Activity doesn't mean you've loved me. And so I am wholeheartedly committed to us being a group of people who use our gifting to serve one another. But if it's without love, what's it worth? Love's how we know we live in him. According to 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Tongues is not the measure of whether you're living in God and God's living in you. Love is. Love is. And we have a tendency sometimes just to fight, to be right with this. But actually, I want you to sit with it. Think about it. Do you love? In the way that you're asked to? Because it's not my purpose only to hype you up, to get you excited about things. And I actually want this to be a real community of faith. If you want to tell me you know God, I'm going to look for evidence of love in your life. If you want to tell me you've got a great relationship with God, I expect to see that outworked in love in your life. That actually it's not all about you. That it's not all about, it's not self-seeking. I'm not holding on to the wrongs of everybody else. I'm not flipping my lid really easily. My frustration's not boiling over constantly. I'm patient and I'm kind. Always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. And on a really practical level, lots of us want to use our gifting and have the attention of others while we do it. See, I understand. A group of believers who are abusing their spiritual gifts. And it just be noise. I expect the people I love to know I love them without me ever having to say it. I actually expect them to experience my love. I don't want to throw a caveat out on occasions of, you know I love you, right? But now let me berate you because I'm a teacher. You know I love you. No, I actually don't know you love me. It's a problem. If I don't know you love me, there's a problem. If I'm actually not convinced of that, there might be an issue here. John 4, verse 20 says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he's given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And I'm increasingly persuaded, that there's some stuff in our hearts we have to deal with. There's some stuff that we have to work through. There's some hurt I've experienced. Actually, I need to not keep the record of wrong anymore. There's some people I need to actually stop writing off, because love always hopes. It always hopes. There's some people that actually I need to be concerned about them more than I am about me. Relationships cost something. They do. And loving people costs a whole lot. Because people are people. But if you want to be effective in using your gift, You can't do it without it. So I'm going to shut up and get out of your way. It's my great act of love to you. We're going to close in worship. Please don't be quick to justify yourself. If you're nailing it, we'd know. My conviction? None of us actually are. But I want to. And I'm not going to settle for something else because I can tell myself it's okay. I'm not going to get comfortable with less than what I'm asked because I can convince myself it's fine. I want to be loving. I pray you do too. Should we stand together?